Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Neurology. This podcast aims to bring you expert multidisciplinary team and patient perspectives on the importance of integrating practice to enhance the care of patients with multiple sclerosis or MS. This activity is funded by an independent medical education grant from the healthcare business of Merck KGaA, Darmstadt, Germany, and is jointly provided by USF Health and Touch IME. In this podcast, an imaging specialist and two neurologists specialising in MS care discuss the imaging modalities available to assess disease progression in MS.
Hello, my name is Professor Tobias Derfus. I'm a neurologist at University Hospital Basel in Switzerland. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Francesca Bagnato. She's a neuroimaging specialist from the Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, USA. And by Professor Tjalf Ziemsen. He is a neurologist at the University Clinic Karl Gustav Karos, Dresden in Germany. Together, we will be discussing the subject imaging disease progression in multiple sclerosis. So this is a very timely topic. We have many treatments available, but of course, we have to monitor the treatment response, but also side effects of treatments. And for this, we have many modalities, in fact. I mean, we have on the one hand, the neurological exam. And in addition, of course, we look at cognition and other aspects. And then we have the MRI. And maybe on the horizon, we have even biomarkers that could help us in treatment decision and monitoring. But let us first speak about the clinical monitoring, the neurological examinations and other tests. So, Tjalf, what do you do in clinical practice with your patients? What kind of tests do you do?
Yeah, of course, neurological examination history is clue. But the big problem, especially the history, it's difficult to put it in the quantitative format. And if you would like to monitor a patient, I think the quantification is a very important way. Of course, the neurological exam using the neurostatus, the EDSS, so we are very happy to Basel for this. I think it's a tool, but it's, of course, not so sensitive to all functional systems. And our approach is, and you try it as well in Basel, that we have to find ways that each functional system which could be involved in MS, that we find a way to quantify it. And there, of course, digital tools can be very, very successful. But on the other side, it's very difficult to develop them. And it's still, I think, in a perspective in the future to have tools available like this. But I think we should, because the quantification of clinical stuff based on functional system, it's still a very hard job and not very well established at the moment.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm happy to hear that you also use the EDSS in Dresden. Of course, we are like very interested in EDSS. But in the same line, I mean, we are working on digital biomarkers, and the pandemic was kind of a start button again to look at digital biomarkers at remote monitoring of patients. I think that will be probably the future. But of course, in addition to clinical measures, and we have the MRI since quite some time, and it's very important for making the diagnosis, but also to follow up patients and look at treatment responses. So, Dr. Bagnato, what would you recommend regarding brain MRI monitoring? At what sequences and at what aspects would you look or focus on?
Well, it's true that MRI is an important paraclinical tool that has really made a revolution on the way we look at MS and we monitor MS. And from a brain MRI standpoint, I think it's key for every patient to have a T2-weighted image, which is the one that is here shown on the right side, where lesions appear as hyperintense. And T2-weighted image essentially summarizes there a snapshot of anything that has happened during the lifetime of that specific patient. And so it's very important to monitor the number of those lesions, the enlargement of those lesions over time. For patients that qualify, it is also important to have a post-contrast image, which is the one that I'm showing on the left. And it's obtained after the injection of the contrast agent gadolinium. And by the means of this image, we can see whether or not there is any active disease. This is particularly relevant at the time of disease onset and a specific milestone of the disease, such as when we suspect that there is a new exacerbation, when we want to monitor the efficacy of a specific disease-modifying agents outside and beyond just clinical activity.
And in addition to brain monitoring, do you think there's a value of spinal cord monitoring in asymptomatic patients? Do you think you gain an additional knowledge by doing the spinal cord MRI?
I believe that's indeed the case. Spinal cord is an important and eloquent site of disease in patients with multiple sclerosis. Patients may have lesions at the level of their cervical or upper spinal cord, which is the one that I'm showing here on the left side, as well as on the thoracic spinal cord. And those lesions, even if small, they may be particularly relevant from a clinical standpoint because they can drive quite an amount of disability. So spinal cord MRI is definitely important at the time of disease diagnosis because it allows us to stage and quantify the disease properly. It is important for specific patients as part of monitoring tool. And as such, it should be repeated regularly for those patients for whom we suspect disease activity in this site of this central nervous system. There are guidelines on the use of MRI, which we update on a regular basis, and those help us understanding when is the right time and what is the right site of the central nervous system that needs to be imaged on a regular basis. The last one of those guidelines have been published in 2021, and they try to maximize scan time and propose efficient protocol, again, to maximize scan times and cost, both financial cost, but also time for patients.
So this is our current practice. So let's take a little look into the future. So what do you see coming for clinical practice? Any new modalities or something you have in mind? What will be the future?
There is a lot of research ongoing in the field of imaging in multiple sclerosis, and this research is driven by the fact that it's very clear to neurologists and radiologists and perhaps patients as well that the amount of disease we can quantify in looking at lesions, both in the brain and the spinal cord, sometimes does not really explain the neurological decline of patients. So there is some disease that we still do not see and we are not able to see. But above all, it is important that we push the field towards pathological characterization of the abnormalities that we see. Because although lesions may all look like hyperintense and T2-weighted images, the reality is that the driving force, the immunopathological and the neurodegenerative driving force of each lesion differ, both in terms of quality and quantity. So one promising biomarkers that has emerged over the last few years is that of the so-called paramagnetic rims. Those are lesions that we can see on susceptibility-weighted images or susceptibility-based MRI, which is an example of which is here in the middle of this panel, whereby some of these of lesions have a paramagnetic rim, a dark rim that surround the core of the hyperintensity on T2-weighted images. And those rims have been histopathologically proven to correspond to chronic active lesions, which foster a chronic process of slow demyelination driven by microglia. I believe this is an important biometric that is going to become quite soon part of standard clinical practice and clinical care, and it will allow us to see and test the efficacy of medication for MS beyond the blood-brain barrier resolution. Another important biometric, which I think is very close to be part of clinical practice, is that of the so-called central vein sign, whereby up to 40% of lesions in patients with MS may be crossed by a vein. And this is very different from T2 hyperintense lesions of people that do not have MS and that may have migraines or previous small strokes or even TBI. So this is a very important sign that adds a pathological specificity and will allow us to refine and be more accurate into the diagnosis process of people with multiple sclerosis.
Yeah, thank you. So maybe a little provocative question to both of you. Do you think that blood-based biomarkers like neurofilament, GFAP, will outcompete MRI in the long term, so especially in progressive disease, that you rather look at blood-based biomarkers compared to MRI? So, Tjalf, what is your opinion on this?
My opinion is that MRI will keep important. I think it's very good if you have different tools to monitor one process, and probably especially the combination of imaging markers and molecular biomarkers like NfL and GFAP may help. That's why I don't see that MRI will not be important in the next decades of MS.
And Dr. Bian Bagnato, your opinion?
Well, despite my passion for imaging, I have to say that my hope is that a peripheral biomarker will actually replace them. But I believe that the disease is a little more complex than that, in that it's a disease that encompasses several pathological processes that that connect to each other in different ways over time. And so I don't think we are going to be able to completely rely on a peripheral biomarker at any point for this condition. But it might be just my view.
Okay, so thank you both for this interesting discussion.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on multiple sclerosis on Touch Neurology at www.touchneurology.com. Don't forget, there are two other chapters in the series, so please listen in for further insights from the multidisciplinary team.